All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
There's nothing more satisfying than taking a great idea and making it a reality. But what about those ideas that seem so crazy they couldn't possibly work? Well, sometimes those crazy ideas wind up working way better than expected. From mind-controlled video games to pooping for profit, prepare to be blown away as we explore some of the wackiest ideas that actually work.
You're listening to Be Amazed.
No matter where you are in the world, drivers racing down roads at speeds far over the legal limit remains a dangerous problem. However, in 2014, the New Mexico Department of Transportation teamed up with National Geographic to create a whimsically song-based solution. A strip of road on Route 333 has been modified such that any motorist that drives across its length is treated to a rendition of the patriotic U.S. classic, America the Beautiful. The mysterious melody only plays when you're driving at exactly the speed limit. So, how does it work? Well, special grooves called rumble strips are installed along the road at varying intervals from one another. When driven over, these rough strips cause cars to vibrate at very specific frequencies, generating audible tones. However, the song will only become recognizable when driven over at precisely 45 miles per hour, encouraging drivers to stick to the speed limit. Despite what my inner rebel tells me, I guess following the rules can be fun. Now, whether it's a dog, cat, or pony, there's always been a demand for animals as pets. But no one would want a pet rock, right? Wrong. Back in 1975, down-and-out freelance copywriter Gary Dahl was having a drink and listening to his friends complain about their pets at the pub. Jokingly, he suggested owning a rock for a pet. A rock couldn't possibly give anyone any trouble, he mused. But even as everybody laughed, the idea began to cement itself in Dahl's mind. Days later, he found himself purchasing a load of smooth rocks at just 1 cent apiece. He also bought straw, which was even cheaper. Then, putting his writing skills to good use, Dahl drafted a full 32-page manual with detailed instructions for keeping the rocks as pets. The manual jokingly describes things like pet rock first aid, and there are even instructions on how to train your pet rock. For example, shake hands is almost impossible to teach the rock. Attack, however, was very simple, with the physical help of the owner, of course. The box, meanwhile, had ventilation holes punched along the top, and the rock sat snugly inside, nestled on a bed of straw. Dahl put the pet rock on the market in time for the Christmas rush, and the response was above anyone's expectations. Astoundingly, by February of 1976, over a million of the stones had been sold. And at $4 apiece, Dahl was made a millionaire almost overnight. Move aside Mick Jagger, Gary Dahl is the only real rock star. Pet rocks. What a crazy idea. What's not so crazy, though, is smashing the follow button if you haven't already. I'm always uploading amazing new content, and you're not going to want to miss out on what I've got planned next. But where were we? Back at the start of 2020, the Chinese government realized it was about to face a huge, potentially devastating airborne problem. And no, I'm not talking about COVID-19. A 400-billion-strong swarm of ferocious flying locusts were headed straight towards China's border. Swarms of the pests had already ravaged their way through eastern Africa, South Asia, and Pakistan, destroying crops at an alarming rate and crippling the country's economies. Eastern Africa lost a whopping $128 million fighting the critters in 2020. So, what was China's plan to stop the onslaught? Ducks, and I mean lots and lots of ducks. The quirky quackers had proven themselves once before, fighting off a similar horde 20 years earlier. Back then, each duck chowed down an average of 200 locusts a day. So, China's government enlisted a colossal legion of 100,000 of them in 2020, gathering at China's Pakistan border, ready to block the 400 billion locusts approaching through Pakistan in an epic battle. Tense quacks filled the air, but this time, it wasn't to be. Experts had warned China to call off the attack and use pesticides instead, which they did. Although ducks had excelled back in 2000 when they were fighting in China, in 2020, they would have been fighting in Pakistan. With soaring temperatures that can exceed 117 degrees Fahrenheit and bone-dry deserts in some parts of the country, it could have been a disaster for the water-reliant ducks. Pulled back from the front line, they waddled wearily away. Let's be honest, nobody enjoys using public toilets. But toilets in Tokyo, Japan, take public pooping anxiety to a whole new level. That's because the cubicle walls are made from transparent glass. Part of the Tokyo Toilet Project, they're designed to combat the stereotype in Japan of public toilets being dark, dirty, smelly, and scary. If you ask me, though, a see-through toilet cubicle is as scary as it gets. But despite how exposed it appears, there's little chance of anyone actually seeing you do your business. The glass walls aren't made of any old glass. No, they're smart glass. When the cubicle door is unlocked, an electric current is passed through crystals in the glass panels, making them transparent. When locked, the electricity is cut off and the panels become opaque. So even in the event of a power failure, the walls won't suddenly turn see-through. Why does this make Tokyo's toilets any better than regular public toilets then? Well, they let you see exactly what the state of the cubicle is before you even enter, which could save you a nasty surprise. You'll be discouraged from leaving any nasty surprises too, because when you're finished, everybody will be able to see exactly how you've left the place. Blaming the person before you won't cut it this time, you filthy animal. Next up, when you think of protests, you probably imagine a mass of people holding signs with impassioned messages of change on them. But back in 2019, thousands of people protesting inequality in Chile held laser pointers, and for an ingenious reason. You see, when protests or riots break out, police use drones to accurately assess the situation from above so they can prepare an appropriate ground response. However, protesters in Chile theorize that if they all brought laser pointers to the gathering and shown them together on one drone at a time, the concentrated light might disrupt the drone somehow. So they tried it, and the drone fell. Astonishingly, the lasers really did work. About 40 to 50 were aimed at the flying police bot, but theories varied as to what actually caused it to crash to the ground. Some people think the combined power of the lasers generated enough heat to melt the plastic on the drone and cause it to malfunction. Others think it overloaded the drone's optical sensor so the operator couldn't see through the camera, forcing them to land. Now here's a quite funny one. Way back in 2003, taxi driver Harpreet Dev was driving home late one night in northern India when his Fiat Padmini got stuck in reverse gear. Without the money to get it repaired, Harpreet turned his head behind him and began driving backwards towards his hometown of Bhatinda. The longer he reversed, the more confident he got, and by the time Harpreet had returned home, an idea had formed in his head. Instead of getting his car fixed, what if he modified the gearbox to have four reverse gears and only one forward gear? The talented taxi driver had always wanted to do something unique in his life, and this was his opportunity. As time went on, tales of the backwards taxicab spread throughout Bhatinda, and Harpreet became something of a local celebrity. He even managed to get a special government license allowing him to drive backwards in any state in northern India. In fact, the daring driver became so adept at his unique mode of transport that in 2005 he reversed all the way from Rajasthan, India, 350 miles to Lahore in Pakistan, to promote peace between the two countries. Unfortunately for Harpreet, all the time spent looking over his shoulder has given him some severe back and neck problems. But does he let that stop him? Of course not. According to Harpreet, achieving something special is never easy. True, but personally, I'm gonna stick to driving forwards. If you're ever out wandering the rural parts of China's Xinjiang province and pass a police station, you might see a very strange sight indeed. That's because in this notoriously crime-ridden region of China, police have begun using guard geese instead of guard dogs. As crazy as it sounds, the geese actually have several distinct advantages over their canine counterparts. For one, they're incredibly loud even while eating. If a thief breaks into your house and throws a steak on the floor, your hungry hound might be too distracted and fail to alert you of the coming danger. However, if you own a goose, they'll still honk loudly whilst gobbling up their meal. What's more, intruders could throw a piece of drugged food and take out the standard solitary guard dog in one fell swoop. Get yourself a large gaggle of geese, on the other hand, and their numbers and noises will make that bewildered burglar wish they'd never come. Of course, owning a personal goose battalion has its challenges, but for the Chinese police force, it's been a startling success. Back in 2013, a man tried to break into a police station in Xinjiang to steal back his confiscated motorbike. It was the dead of night, and he'd successfully drugged the two guard dogs. Confidently, he climbed over the wall and was met with a terrifying sight. 20 geese all eyeballing him, fanning their wings and aggressively shrieking. Cops that had been sleeping in the station overnight were awoken, and the criminal was caught. So, next time you're considering a new animal sidekick, why not go for a goose or 10?
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Now, if you're eating ice cream, you might consider stopping for this next entry. When you're chowing down on a delicious vanilla ice cream, the last thing you want to imagine is that it came from the rear end of some wild animal. But if you lived in the early 20th century, chances are you'd have tried beaver butt juice at least once in your life. Turns out beavers have a gland just beneath their tails that secretes the sticky brown goo. This sludge is not poop, but smells and tastes just like vanilla. So much so, in fact, that folks 100 years ago used it to flavor ice cream, cakes, and anything else they fancied. While it's best not to ponder how people figured out how this stuff tastes, the secretion is actually called castoreum, and its puzzlingly pleasant smell and taste are byproducts of the beaver's plant-based diet. Castoreum is made from a bunch of chemical compounds, several of which work as pheromones, and beavers use it to mark territory and communicate with one another, which is pretty far removed from our use for it. Extracting castoreum from a beaver is no easy task. You can't just hold an ice cream cone under there and hope for the best. First, the beaver has to be anesthetized, then somebody has the unenviable job of manually milking its castor glands. Given how impractical, not to mention gross, that process is, castoreum only accounts for a tiny fraction of all vanilla flavorings nowadays. However, you can still find it in some alcoholic beverages and premium ice cream. I guess I'll stick to the cheap stuff then. Moving on now, way back in mid-18th century France, a terrible fear had gripped the nation. It wasn't a fear of death or war, but rather potatoes. Spanning from unfounded suspicions about the fact that potatoes grew underground, people saw the tubers as spreaders of disease and even the cause of leprosy. Although there was no evidence supporting these views, in 1748, the French Parliament went so far as to declare the potato illegal. But after being captured by the Prussians during the Seven Years' War, French Army medical officer Antoine Augustin Parmentier's opinion drastically changed. Parmentier was fed potatoes during his imprisonment and, to his disbelief, he was totally fine. So upon his release, Parmentier made it his mission to spread the good word. After years of tireless work, he eventually succeeded and the ban was lifted in 1772. But still, many people wouldn't touch the much maligned vegetable. Then one day, Parmentier had an idea. People didn't want to eat them because they saw them as undesirable. Therefore, he just had to make them desirable. So Parmentier turned a piece of land he owned into a potato patch, hiring several heavily armed guards to make a great show of defending the spuds. His thinking was that people would see the guards and assume the potatoes were worth stealing. Parmentier waited, and sure enough, people began stealing the potatoes. From then on, demand began to increase and widespread opinion of the root vegetable changed, all thanks to one man's impassioned ploy. I'm sure Parmentier would be smiling in his grave if he knew there's now such a thing as French fries. Now, if somebody told you there was a way you could turn your poop into cash, you'd probably think they were pulling a prank. But at the Ulsan National Institute of Science and Technology in South Korea, this duty-fueled dream has become a reality. Cho Jae-weon, a professor at the university, wanted to design an energy-efficient way of running one of the buildings on campus. His answer? A toilet within the Science Walden Pavilion at the university? The toilet has a vacuum pump which draws waste into an underground bioreactor where it's broken down, producing methane. This methane is then used to provide power to the whole building. As if that wasn't crazy enough, any student that chooses to poop on the high-tech toilet gets a set amount of virtual currency. Named Ghoul, the currency can be spent at the university shops on things like books or coffee. The scheme has been so popular that one student is quoted to have said, "I'd only ever thought of feces as dirty, but now it is a treasure of great value to me," which is fine. As long as they don't start carrying it around in a jewelry box with them wherever they go, the bitter winter months in Finland plunge the north of the country into a darkness that can last up to 18 hours a day. As inconvenient as this is for most people, it's potentially disastrous for reindeer breeders, who lose around 4,000 deer per year in traffic accidents caused by the unending darkness. So, back in 2014, some bright breeders teamed up to think of an even brighter solution to their problem. They tried sticking reflective tape to the deer, but it just got ripped off. They thought of spraying reflective paint on the animal's fur, but this too proved ineffective. Finally, they realized that by spraying reflective paint on the antlers, car headlights were reflected back startlingly well. I've gotta say, if I was driving down the road and saw reflective horns staring at me through the darkness, I'd start reversing. Pronto. Unfortunately for the breeders and the deer, they'd forgotten to consider that reindeer annually shed their antlers, so the solution was only a temporary one. Next up, most prisoners dream of escaping from prison, and very occasionally, one manages to. But nobody has ever escaped in the same insane manner that French inmate Michel Vaujour did. Back in 1986, Michel was partway through serving an 18-year sentence in the Parisian prison of Lysante, but his wife Nadine had other ideas and hatched a plan to bust her husband out. On a routine visit in March 1986, she slipped him a note with the exact date and time she intended for him to go free. May 28th at 10 a.m. So what was the plan? Nadine figured that the best way of getting over the huge prison walls to break her husband out was to fly over them, specifically in a helicopter. The only problem was she'd never flown a helicopter in her life. The plan then, simply enough, was to spend the next 3 months learning. If all went well, she'd get her personal helipilot's license by May 27th. Then, at 10 in the morning the very next day after graduating, she'd fly a chopper onto a pre-agreed roof of the prison, where she'd meet Michel and fly him out. To avoid anyone shooting her out of the sky, she bought a toy pistol and painted it black so she could brandish it threateningly from the chopper. But how would Michel get past all the guards and onto the roof to meet her? Incredibly, the answer lies with green tangerines. Michel was to slyly steal tangerines from the canteen and paint them grenade green. Then, on the day of the escape, he'd pretend they were real grenades to scare the guards from shooting at him. So the big day came around. Amazingly, Nadine had done exactly as she'd intended, passing her helicopter exam with flying colors. And Michel was equally prepared for his daring escape. he'd enlisted the help of fellow inmate Pierre Hernandez, and together the pair began their mad dash for freedom. Waving the green tangerines around in the air like fruit-loving madmen, they bolted through the prison towards the rooftop. Miraculously, none of the prison guards opened fire. Fooled by the frightening fruit, they were all too scared to shoot and risk blowing the whole place into smithereens. And Michelle reached the rooftop in the nick of time. His wife was hovering above the rooftop, from which point she slung a rope down, and Michelle began climbing. As he neared the top, Nadine hit the gas and the pair flew away, ruthlessly abandoning Pierre still on the roof below in one of the most unbelievable prison escapes ever. And all thanks to some painted fruit. And now, lastly, picture the scene. It's the Middle Ages, and you've just got into a heated argument with your arch-rival. Your nemesis unsheathes their sword and charges at you, ready to swing. Right now, it would be a terrible idea to grab the blade of your sword, wouldn't it? Despite how it sounds, it might not be. The practice of holding a sword by its blade was not uncommon in medieval Europe and is depicted in many illustrations of the time. It's called half-swording, and if done correctly, could be crucial to winning a fight. For example, if your opponent has a short sword and runs in close, but you only have a long sword, they have the advantage. To get around this, you can hold the blade of your sword with one hand and the handle with the other. This gives you more precision, allowing you to retaliate. Another technique requires taking a firm grip of the blade with both hands. Not only can you defend against big strikes like this, but you can also bring the sword down on an opponent like a hammer. Named the Mordow or Murder Stroke, this attack is super effective against armor, but wouldn't grabbing a blade with your bare hands cause some pretty nasty cuts? Not if you do it correctly. Firstly, you have to push your palm into the side of the blade. Then, if you're careful, it's possible to wrap your fingers around the blade and grip the sword while leaving space between the sharp edge and your fingers. As long as you hold the blade with a strong enough grip, and whatever you do, don't let it slide, you won't injure yourself. It's even possible to grab the blade of your opponent's sword, just as long as you do it after they've swung and not while they're mid-strike. With all this knightly knowledge, I guarantee you'll be fighting at a cut above the rest. You know, next time you're in a sword fight, which is super common these days. Well, that's just about all the crazy ideas I can handle for now. Have you ever had an insane idea that actually worked? Thanks for listening to this podcast, and I'll see you next time.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.